daily basis. Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor Tim. Thank you for allowing this old missionary to be here. If you have a Bible tonight, open it anywhere. It's really good. Amen. We got 66 books to choose from, but I want you to turn to the book of John, chapter number 12. John, chapter number 12 tonight. You know, last night we talked about the mission. We talked about the mission that God has given the church. He's told us to go. And by the way, I'm in full agreement. If you haven't been to the mission field, you need to go. You say, well, I'm this age. We have a lady in our church that's over 80. She goes on every single mission trip that our church goes to. She's been to Africa several times. She's been to Israel. She's been to Central America several times. She's been all over the world. Whenever we have a mission trip, she's one of the first ones to sign up because she wants to go and be a blessing and see what God is. And as long as you're physically able to do that in any way possible, come on, see the field. The eye will affect your heart. You know, you can see a lot of videos, but unless you smell it and taste it. Oh. Now, one of the things you'll notice when you get off the plane and our country is you'll notice the smell. It doesn't smell like America. And it smells a little bit different. And that's okay. Doesn't mean you'll get used to it, you know, pretty quickly. And like I said last night, when you eat your food, you pray over it and you really mean it. Amen. And so, you know, we understand that. But if you get a chance, especially Puerto Rico, I've been there. Jerry Harmon's been there for 20-something years. I went down and preached for Brother Jerry all over the island a few years ago. Jerry's actually come to our mission and preached for me in Kapula Futa Baptist Mission many years ago. So I'm familiar with that work. What a great opportunity. And not only that, I mean, it's not like you're stepping into the fourth world. It's not like you're going to eat hippo meat with me, okay? And by the way, if you come to the mission, we won't have hippo. Hippo's actually a delicacy. That's my favorite meat in Africa. Okay, I don't recommend rats or mice. I mean, it's kind of tough, you know. You squirrel hunters, hey, that's what they are, right? A rat, okay? You just think they're cute. But anyway, we just had dinner. I hope I didn't upset your stomach. But anyway, all right. Remember that the mission is all we do everywhere we go. It doesn't make any difference where we go. We're on mission. Like today when you're sitting by that couple and you had the opportunity to share the Word of God with them. You know, share the Word of God. A few years ago, brother, I was in Africa, and this was actually more than a few years ago, probably 10, maybe 12 years. No, more than that, probably 13, 14 years ago. And we were traveling in different countries, and so wherever we would go, we would pass out tracts. And so we had a tract made up that said, "The Gospel of Jesus Christ to the Continent of Africa." And so in there was the Romans Road, and after you got saved and all this stuff, you were to meet every week, first day of the week, Sunday, meet and pray together and share your faith and all that kind of stuff. We were passing out tracts. Well, months went by, and all of a sudden, a guy showed up at our mission station. Now, we have a six-mile driveway, okay, that no vehicles drive down. We got a six-mile driveway that most people walk 6 miles once they get the tarmac, okay, and they usually take a bus to the tarmac, get off, and then they have to walk to the mission 6 miles. So this guy shows up at our mission station and says, "Are you the missionary?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, and he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a tract that was, I mean, beaten. It was torn up. It was, you know, taped together. You could tell it had just been through everything you can imagine. And he said, "I see on this, it says Kapula Futa Baptist Mission." And he said, "Are you the missionaries that give these tracts out?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Well, who are you?" He said, "Well, you gave me this tract about a little over a year ago, and I took it and I read it and I followed what it said and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I got saved." He said, "So I went back to my village and I told my wife about this. And I shared the track with her, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then I went to my kids and I called them in our village and I read the tract again to them and my kids got saved. And then I went over to the other huts and all of those people got saved. And there was about 80 people in our village that got saved from a tract. He said, but the problem is that it says on your tract here that read your Bible. He goes, we don't have any Bibles. He said, I've come to get Bibles. And that's when I asked him, I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Malawi. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, you were traveling through the airport. You're passing out these little pamphlets. And I took one. He said, I live in Malawi. He said, not only that, he said, but I read the back of the tract and it says, meet every Sunday, okay, together as believers and pray. So that's what we did. And all we had was the tract. So we would share the tract every Sunday with the same people over and over and over again. And we'd memorize the tract. Well, on the tract, it says, go and share the good news with someone else. So we took our village to another village and all of them got saved and trusted Christ as their Savior. So now we have over 300 people that have been saved from one tract. With no Bibles, no John and Romans, no New Testaments, nothing. And so the church got together, the group of people got together and sold their cows and sold their goats and bought me a bus ticket to take from Malawi all the way up to Kafula Futa Baptist Mission to ask you to please bring us the Word of God. So I called up Dennis Anderson, a good friend of mine that was a missionary, and we flew to through Malawi, landed at Blantyre, and of course they met us there in some vehicles, and we drove up to the village, and we were in that village for 8 days and 8 nights, just with a concordance in one hand, a Bible in the other, and we brought Bibles for the people in Malawi, and man, they would hug them, and they would cry over them, and the New Testaments we gave them, and the John and Romans we gave them, and they were just overwhelmed with that. Let me tell you something, these John and Romans, these tracts that BPS sends over, they're working. You give them out at the police stations. You know what we did one day in Zambia? I don't know if this is the right attitude to have, but sometimes our police, they don't get paid for like 8 or 9 months, you know, because the government pays the police. So what they'll do is they'll set up roadblocks, you know, for the vehicles. So as you go through a roadblock, they'll look and see if there's anything wrong with your vehicle. And then they'll fine you. And you go, we'll pay the fine. Well, the problem with that is if you pay a fine, they impound your vehicle and you have to drive them to the closest police station that may be 1 hour away, 2 hours away. And then you got to wait for 2 or 3 hours to finally get the ticket or whatever. And then you pay the fine. So then your day's shot. You follow me? Or you can just look at the offer and say, well, what's it going to cost? And he might say, you know, $10 or 10 kwacha or whatever the case may be. And he said, well, I don't have 10. Will you take 5? Yeah, I'll take 5. So anyway, so I got tired of all these police stops. So I got back to the mission. I grabbed 20-something of our Bible college students. And I said, come on, get in the back of this truck. And they go, well, where are we going? We're going soul winning. I said, what? I said, we're going to go to the police stations. We're going to go to every police stop. And we're going to stop before we get there because I don't want to get another ticket. And we're going to go up to the police and we're going to witness to those police officers. Well, we ended up leading 86 policemen to Christ that day. And then I was able to go to the police station and lead the commandant to Christ. And now the commandant there in Lawancha, we have a little office there for one of our Bible college students that disciples the police officers. So now when you go through the roadblocks, they just look at the sign. They go, oh, missionary, come on, my missionary, come on through. So amen, we don't have those problems quite like we did in the past. But like I said, I didn't have a really good attitude when I said, let's go soul winning. Let's just go win those police to Jesus. We'll show them, you know, amen. So anyway, that's what we did. But God blessed and praise God for that. Remember, this mission of God is based on his character. See, he loves us. He loves the world. And he gives his life for it. But how are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? How are they going to hear unless the Word of God, the gospel, the power of God? You heard my testimony on Sunday. I, I didn't know an Old Testament from a New Testament, but I wasn't a fool. I believed there was a God. I believed there was a devil. I believed there was a heaven. I believed there was a hell. I just believed God couldn't love me until I was given the gospel. And I was told that Jesus died for my sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again from the dead, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, the good news. And that if I will trust in that and believe in that and call upon Him, be willing to turn from my life and turn to Him and say, God, I'm yours. God, save my soul. Save this sinner. And God saved my soul that day and changed my life. Here we are in John chapter 12. I love this story. It says, then, verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. Father, thank You for this evening. Thank You for the wonderful testimony of BPS and Lord, what's going to happen in Puerto Rico. And God, just thank You for the opportunities, Lord. You give this church others opportunities to step into that mission field, to step out of our comfort zone for just a little while. I'm so thankful for that. God, would You just steal our hearts now, God, please. Lord, would You allow us to hear what the Spirit again is saying to the church? Lord, would You just put away all that care of the world and what's going on out there and just have us concentrate tonight upon Your Word. Lord, speak to our hearts, I pray. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love this story of Mary. I'm not going to go into all the cultural background that has to do with this Jewish setting here, but Mary was like any typical Jewish young lady, all right? When a young girl in the Jewish faith in those days, from what I understand, that they were one day hoping to get married. They were one day hoping to find a husband. They were one day there would be an arranged marriage. There was one day when this woman would possibly have children and be blessed of God. And the people would look and say, she's blessed of God because she's able to have children. And so this spikenard, this ointment, this perfume that was given to her, at such a, like probably around 12 or 13 when she became that woman, so to speak, like a boy has a bar mitzvah and a girl has a, I don't know if it's a bat mitzvah, or I think that's what it is. And so like it's just a coming of age type thing, but they're given this ointment that is going to be used on her wedding night during the consummation of the marriage. So it was what? Her future. She was looking to her future. And notice it says it's very costly. The 300 pence is about the equivalent of 1 year's salary in that day, okay? So think about our day, 1 year's salary, all right? And you're going to just break it and pour it over Jesus, all right? To give your future, to give your hopes, to give your dreams, to give your desires, to give your best to Jesus. And that's what she did. You know what God wants from each of us here tonight? To give our best. Not to give God just a token of our best, but He wants us to give our best. All right? To give the best that we have. He wants us to say and come to Him and say, where do You want me, Lord? Where do You want me? You want me right here? I'll stay right here, but help me be what You want me to be right where I'm at. Lord, do You want me to go somewhere? Lord, where do You want me? God, I'll go anywhere. I'll talk to anyone. But God, I'm Yours. I belong to You. You are my future. You are my desire. You are everything to me. And so Mary felt that way, and she broke that. And notice what he said. He said, she hath done it for my what? My burial. Well, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, the sun was getting ready to go down. You know the story, right? They had to take Jesus very quickly and put him in the tomb, right? They rolled the stone away. Well, they weren't able to anoint the body for the burial with the spices. And so if you continue reading, you'll find out that on the third day, right, the women come to the tomb. Are you with me? They come with their spices, and they see the stone rolled away. And the body of Jesus is gone. What happened? They missed their opportunity. See, Mary didn't miss her opportunity. We have an opportunity this week during this missions conference to get serious with God. You have an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. We talked about last night the mission of God, that God has told and commanded the church to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Get the word of God out. That's the mandate. That's the command. That's the great commission that Jesus Christ has given the church. And so remember the mission we talked about last night. The purpose is to restore God's image, that fallen image, put God's image back in his creation, that imputed righteousness of Christ. So when Jesus Christ looks at me, he doesn't see the wickedness of Bobby Bonner. He sees the right blood of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of his son when he looks at me. Oh, I'm so thankful of that. Amen. And so our serving of God should be out of motivation of love for him. Of love. And remember, I said this the other day, Sunday, love is not a feeling. Love is an act of our will. Am I willing to give to Jesus what I love? Am I willing to give him my time? Am I willing to give him my service? Am I willing to give him my talents? God, I'm a baseball player. They don't know baseball in Africa. Yeah, but you know, you're the type of guy that, guess what? You'll rub some dirt on it and you'll get back in the game. Let me tell you something. Africa's a little bit different place than Puerto Rico. So I would recommend, if you've never been anywhere, go to Puerto Rico first. Because everything in Africa will prick you, grab you, stab you, and leave a mark. One day, I even got attacked by a lion. I showed Caleb. You saw my scar, right? I got a scar right here on my arm. That lion got me, man, with his claw. Trouble is, the lion was only about that big, okay? It was, you know, David Livingston had his shoulder almost torn off by a big male lion. I got one scratch right there. I made sure it was a nice scar. So I could tell everybody, I saved my daughter from this cub. You know, I grabbed it and it got me. Amen. So Africa's a little different, but that's okay. And I told you on Sunday, the reason why I went to Africa is I wanted to prove to God I loved him. Because why? I didn't want to go to Africa. I had no desire to go to Africa. I really didn't. I told you I went to Africa because my brother said he would go there, and he didn't go, and he died. He missed his opportunity. That could have been my brother seeing the blessings of God and all that he did when we were there. That could have been my brother. Now, I know he was in heaven watching, hallelujah, but think about it, it could have been him. I went to Africa for one thing only. I was motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. And that's why we do anything. That's why we do what we do. And if we're doing it for something else, then you're going to fail, you're going to fall, you're going to say, man, that Christianity's not for me. But if you do it because of what God has done for you, and you're so thankful for what he saved you, and you, out of motivation of love, you want to do something back. You want to give your best for the Savior. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Remember, the mission of God is based on his character. We really do not know God if we don't look at missions. We are to reflect His image. His image is linked to His character. Mission should never be just a program in the church. It needs to be the heartbeat of the church. Missions. And missions doesn't have to be in Africa. Missions can be right here in West Bend. Your neighbor at the restaurant, talking to people, the grocery store, handing out a tract. You never know what a gospel tract can do. Over this last year, God showed me that. I've had two different phone calls from two different people that I gave them a tract and walked them through the tract back when they were a teenager. And I was still a ball player. And they called me up and they said, Bobby Bonner, yeah, you don't remember me. No, I don't. He said, you led me to Jesus because of this, because of the power of God and the gospel. Amen. So by being involved in this, we are participating in God's missionary nature. Like I said the other day, David Livingston, that great missionary to Africa, he said God only had one son, and He made him what? A missionary. He sent him from heaven's glory to come. You see, tonight I want to talk about missions, plural. We looked at mission last night, the desire of God to restore man's fallen image. He wants to say, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repent. That's what God wants. Well, missions, what is that? That's the fulfilling the mission of God. That's missions. Fulfilling the mission of God by means of evangelism and discipleship. All right? Going to all the world, telling them about a Savior, telling a beggar where to find bread. Okay? Telling them the truth of the gospel. And then baptizing them and teaching them, discipling them, all of those things. That's missions. Fulfilling the mission of God by evangelism. Missions is reaching out and meeting people's spiritual needs. All right? Don't miss your opportunity. Our life is but a vapor. Man, I look back at my life, my grandchildren, that's me. And my grandchildren look at that picture and they go, Pappy, that ain't you. I said, yeah, it was just a long time ago, which seems like yesterday. But God has given each of us a little slice of time to make an eternal difference in the life of somebody else, and even in your life, because you know what it feels like, I'm sure, when you've given the gospel to someone. Maybe someone receives it, maybe someone don't, but they'll take it and they listen to you, and you go away. What? I go away, I'm a little satisfied. Why? Because I did what God told me to do. I can't save anybody, okay? But I'm to be like salt. Remember we talked about that? I'm to make them thirsty. I can be that salt. I can be that light. I can give them, hey, I'll show you a path here. You know, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. All right, I can be that light in their life. I can give them a little bit of light, give them a little bit of hope, okay? Missions is reaching out, meeting people's spiritual needs. Oh, my. When I first got to Zambia, we were walking out to the mission station where we had been given over 300 acres and 30 buildings on the site. So Senior Chief Mushili, he is the, at that time, he's with the Lord now, but Senior Chief Mushili was the head senior chief over the Lamba Nation, Ishilamba people. There's over 1 million of them in their tribe from in the Congo and in north central Zambia, the Lamba people. And so Senior Chief Mushili, we're walking out in this bush, there's termite hills, and I can remember walking out, and I said, Senior Chief, I said, I know you've given us this land here, and we got all these buildings, but would you give us like maybe an additional 40 acres next to the mission? Would you give us this land? He said, why do you want this when you can have this? I said, well, we'll take that too, but I would like this extra land. He said, well, why do you want this land? I said, well, I closed my eyes a few minutes ago and I saw four houses that I want to build. I said, over here, just next to the four houses, I see a Bible college. I see five classrooms over here. I see a dormitory. Over here, I see a church building that we're going to build over here. And it was all termite hills and bush. And the chief kind of looks at me and goes, man, you're just kind of a crazy mzungu. You know, mzungu is the Swahili word for honky, okay? I'm a crazy honky, okay? So anyway, but before the chief walked up, he's walking up, and I noticed three or four Zambians, they got down on their knees, and they did this. They clapped. And so when I saw them do that, now I'm with two other mzungus, and for some reason, I don't know why, I bowed my knee, and I went to the ground, and I clapped. And the chief walked over to me and started the conversation. He said, please get up. I said, chief, you're my chief. I said, I have moved into your land. You've given us this mission. That's when I began to talk to him. And I said, you're my chief. And I was surprised. He said, I want you to come to my royal establishment tomorrow. I said, okay. So he left, and so we're kind of measuring off the land, where we're going to build our houses and stuff. So the next day, I asked one of the local people, I said, what do you do when you go see the chief? Protocol. What do you do? And they said, well, you don't want to offend him, so you want to bring him a gift. So I brought him like a 25 kg bag of salt. You know, I went to the store, bought him a big bag of salt because they always need that. And so I presented it to him. I got on my knees. I clapped. He said, please get up. He said, I've never had a white man bow to me before. Now, I was bowing to him, but I wasn't worshiping him. I was showing him respect, like his tribe. And so we talked for a while. And then I said to him, I said, Senior Chief Bashirley, it would be an honor if you would come to my house and spend time at our house. And he goes, I'll be there next week. I go, okay, great. So I came home, and Becky and Kango and Catherine Kangabala, they're talking, and they're in the kitchen and everything, the place we're staying, and they're working on some things. And I said to her, I said, honey, I said, guess what? The chief is coming to visit us on Saturday. And Catherine Kangabala, the lady, the Zambian lady, she goes, and I go, what, Catherine? He goes, do you know what that means? I said, yeah, the chief's coming. She said, no, you don't understand. If the chief comes, he brings his counselors. I said, how many counselors does he have? He said, about 15, 16 men. He said, plus they'll bring their wives. He said, then he may have half a dozen MPs, members of parliament, with him. He said, there'll probably be 30 to 40 people. So I look at my wife, and she says, well, I got to cook for 40 people, you know. And Catherine said, I'll help you. Now, in order to cook for the chief, whatever pot she used to cook for the chief could not be used to cook for the other 39 people. It all had to be prepared separately, okay, in a ceremony. Well, my wife did all that. I couldn't believe it. So when the chief came, you know, she was in her outfit, Zambian outfit, chitanga, and all my kids came in, and they bowed to the chief and clapped, and the chief was just, wow. So we had a great time. A couple of weeks went by, and I'm preaching in one of the churches we started, and I see a vehicle go by, but don't really notice. Now, in our culture, over there, everybody sits in the front. Nobody sits in the back. You know why? We don't have microphones. So everybody wants to hear the preacher. So they're all right down here. They're like hanging on to my legs. You know, I can't hardly walk. So everybody's down here. So all of a sudden, I looked through the door, and the chief walked in. Now, thank God no one saw him, okay, because the back row was empty there. And so he sat down and just waited. Everybody was still looking at me. They didn't see the chief. Well, I gave the invitation, and Senior Chief Mushili walked forward. And he came down, and he took my hand. He said, missionary, I need Jesus. And I had the opportunity to lead Senior Chief Mushili to Jesus Christ. He got born again. He got saved. Oh, my. Our chief was wonderful. He gave us that land. He's done everything for us. It was amazing. Well, when he died, it was a state funeral. What does that mean? That means the president's there, the vice president's there, all members of parliament are there. The one television station records it. The newspapers are all there. 3,000 or 4,000 people were at the funeral, and Senior Chief Mushili put in his will that I would preach his funeral. So I had a chance to give the gospel to the entire nation of Zambia, those that had a TV, and of course the radio stations were there. It all started because I wanted to get down and sit at the feet. Now, I knew Senior Chief Mushili wasn't Jesus. I understood that. But you know, God always blesses humility. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so I'm so thankful for the lessons that I've learned in Zambia, Africa, over situations like that. And God has shown me and just blessed my heart the fact that we've got to what? We've got to meet people where they're at. I was sharing with some people downstairs about the witch doctors and everything else, man. And we need to have that motivation, that relationship with God like Mary did. Mary said, I'm going to give my best. I'm going to give my dreams. I'm going to give my future. And I'm not going to miss my opportunity now to serve Jesus. Whew. One of my heroes, you won't meet him until you get to heaven, but his name is Frank Smith. He was a member of our church at First Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, New York. He was a bus mechanic, diesel mechanic. And we had a bunch of buses, and I drove a bus to pick up the kids. And back in those early days, in the early 80s, we just built a bus barn. Before that, he would work on the buses out in the snow to make sure the buses were ready. Frank was a mechanic, great with his hands. But Frank got a disease where he lost the mobility in his hands. So he had to go into a wheelchair. But he was out there, even when the snow was flying, handing tools to the other mechanics underneath the bus. Always there. Thursday night, Frank would go on visitation, even in a wheelchair. And we'd wheel him up to the door and we'd ring the bell. And Frank would tell people about Jesus. Then Frank got throat cancer. And they had to remove his larynx. So now he can't talk. Except with that, you know, little buzzer they put up there, and he didn't like that, so he would just whisper real loud, and he was the first one in church that would meet us, and he'd always grab me and go, Bobby, come here, and we'd go in a closet, and we'd just pray until the church service started. Frank was a prayer warrior. So I went off to Africa. I came back my first furlough. I heard Frank was in the hospital dying, so I said, I got to go visit Frank. He's been such an encouragement to me. He's just an example to me. I went up there. His family was around the bed getting ready. I mean, he's just fixing to go any minute. And Frank opened his eyes and he saw me and he goes, Bobby. I go, yeah. And I leaned over and I said, Frank, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And Frank grabbed me right here, Brother Tim, and just with strength, he pulled me right down to his face, had my ear right there. And he goes, Bobby, you don't have to pray for me anymore. I said, why? He said, I'm going to see Jesus in just a few minutes. But before I go, I want to pray for you. Oh, God, bless Bobby. Oh, God, have your hand upon his ministry. Oh, God, bless him in Africa. And I'm just snot and tears. I mean, I'm just. And then a few minutes later, Frank took his last breath and went to glory. Whew. The thing about Frank Smith, he gave his best, no matter what it was. And he never missed an opportunity to share Christ with someone else. Don't miss your opportunity. The motivation is natural when we fully understand the love of God and the relationship we can have with Jesus Christ. Martha's out here working. She's cumbered with all kinds of worry. And the Bible says, and she's all, hey, Master, can tell Mary to come help me. Oh, Mary has chosen the good thing. Mary's chosen the good thing. To be at the feet of Jesus. To say, Lord, I give you my dreams. I give you my hopes. I give you everything. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus says this, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Why don't we follow Jesus? We're here tonight and we think, you know, when's the last time I passed out a tract? When's the last time I mentioned Jesus to somebody? When's the last time I really tried to give the gospel out? Jesus said, "Follow me. I'll make you a fisher." So my question is, are we following Jesus? Are we following him? Are we sitting at his feet, giving him our lives, and going, "Lord, I give you my best, and I'm not going to miss my opportunity." Don't miss it. Have you missed some opportunities in your life? I know I have. I've missed some unbelievable opportunities to share faith, share my faith with others. And I walk away and what hits me? Oh, man. Oh, man. I don't like that feeling, and I know you don't either. So let's be at the feet of Jesus and let's be listening to what he says for us to do. Let's give our best and don't miss our opportunity. Father, thank you for this evening. God, I pray, Father, that you'd get a hold of our hearts tonight. God, we just want to tell you that we love you so much. Lord, we know that, Lord, your will is so important. And Lord, you are love. God is love. You are full of it. Lord, that's who you are. You Lord, you are the manifestation of that love. You loved us so much that you sent your son to die that we might have life. And not only life, but have it abundantly. And God, that will of ours is so strong. But Lord, when we submit it to you, Lord, we're showing you that yes, indeed, we love you. We will do what you've called us to do. Help us to give our best. Don't let us miss the opportunities that we have.